Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
All right, welcome back in hour number two here, the early line on the grid. It is sportsgrid.com. Joe Ranieri, Dane Martinez here for you. As we continue to focus our attention on the draft, just a week away or so, 9 days, I think, we'll have it, or 8 days, rather. We will be ready to rock and roll and get you even more excited for some NFL football coming your way. We talked in the first hour a little bit about some of the quarterback situations, some of the franchises and where they are in the cycle of kind of trying to build a champion there. So, you got that portion of the league that's got the quarterback like Seattle, like Kansas City, that's saying, hey, now we got to maintain, we got to continue to push forward, while other teams have completely blown it up starting from scratch, and others like the Raiders, they're a couple of years into that rebuild now. So it's this is an important draft. We're kind of filling in the gaps and filling in the pieces around, especially their quarterback. So, the other positions that we know for a fact, and one of the most stacked positions in this year's draft, is the wide receiver position. And it's interesting because I'm seeing this number somewhere around that 4.5, 5.5, depending on where you are, right? So the question comes, and I think there is 7, possibly even 8 wide receivers that deserve to be considered first-round talent, but we know what happens at the end of the first round. Teams will take the offensive linemen still on the board, the defensive the edge rushers that are still on the board. They much rather take a shot with those guys at the end of the first round because of how hard it is to find them. They would rather take, even if you consider maybe a second round talent, they'll take them late first round because it's an edge rusher, because it's offensive linemen, and they are extremely valuable. So there are going to be, I think, a number of first-round talent wide receivers that are going to go in day two of this draft. So the problem is when you look at this, 32 picks in the first round, Dan, and you start going through and the names that we have heard beyond a shadow of a doubt, you've got CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Judy, Jefferson is 4.
Sure.
So you look and say, all right, I think there's going to be 4 by the time you get to number 20, right? So top 20 picks, 4 are definitely going to be off the board. If that number is 5.5, right, of wide receivers, that means between 20 and 32, you've got to go ahead and see at least another 2 wide receivers go off the board. And I'm not saying there aren't wide receivers worth it, but what I'm saying is at that point in the draft, once you start getting to 21 and on, the needs are different. Quarterbacks, if they're going to take a shot, are going to go. Defensive tackles, those edge rushers, and certainly every other offensive lineman that is there on the board, that's on draft boards, they're going to take a run. I mean, that's where it's going to go. So it's unique from the quality wide receivers that you have this year But again, not necessarily the most advisable thing to go ahead and take a first round pick if it's not one of those guys we just mentioned.
Yeah.
Taking him in the first round is a bit of a risk for a, especially the teams down at that bottom.
Yeah. I think what we have here is a good old question of supply and demand, right, Joe?
Right, yeah.
And I think that's part of what it is. I, like you, have heard that there's a ton of wide receivers in this draft who, you know, are of high quality.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think a team, maybe like you're talking about in the 20s, that may have a need at wide receiver, but has another need as well. I think it's supply and demand, Joe. It's like, okay, I could get this wide receiver right now, and then what's the gap between that wide receiver and the wide receiver who will still be staring me in the face in the second round or in the third round later in the draft versus the difference if I do decide to address another one of my team needs, a stud in the middle, an offensive lineman, whatever the case, and the difference between if I go and address that need now or if I wait. And because there are so many people in the wide receiver position, I do think teams may look to prioritize other positions because they're comfortable with what they could get later on in the draft at the wide receiver position. Joe, I see at least 13 wide receivers who are rated with, you know, that kind of quote unquote grade that deserves being in the first or second round. When you talk about teams in the back half, though, you said in the top 20, teams that I am looking at that may have a need at wide receiver at that level of the draft, though, still the Philadelphia Eagles come to mind for me, Joe. I believe they pick in the low 20s, and I think they have been connected to wide receivers, whether that be Jefferson out of LSU, potentially T. Higgins out of Clemson. And I continue to think that the time is now for the Green Bay Packers to find an answer opposite Devontae Adams, and I think they could be in the wide receiver market as well. So if you're picking that over – those are two teams you would have to sweat out at the back of the first round.
Yeah, and listen, I could even realistically count five, right? The number's 5.5. But if you go with Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, and the other ones that we mentioned, Ruggs, Judy, of course, and CeeDee Lamb, you got five, guys. Mims is another kid that absolutely has that kind of
I've heard Chenault out of Colorado.
Yeah, another guy that's on a lot of draft boards, Chase Claypool. You got a couple of kids, too. They're first-round talents, but like you said, if there weren't so many of them this year, it would be we'd be talking about, obviously, top 10, top 12 picks, but that's not the case because of the quality. So I can get five. The question is it worth going for a sixth and hitting the over, which I think is somewhere around minus one? What is it at FanDuel right now for the over on wide receivers?
Sure, for the numbers in the first round.
Right.
Sure, for the wide receivers, okay, remember, the quarterbacks are at 4.5.
Right.
Running backs are just a half, by the way, Joe, right? It's like a prop bet. Will it happen?
Yes.
Wide receivers, it has gone up even more, Joe. Okay, it's gone up since we've last talked. The number is now 6.5.
Wow. All right. So,
A heavy juice. They've, you know, because they moved it. They just bumped it recently from 5.5 to 6.5. But now the juice is out of control. Okay. So if you say 6.5, under 6.5, you got to lay minus 260.
Yeah.
So they're trying to, they don't know.
They're trying to, You could probably get 5.5, but it'd be a little more realistic. Yes.
Right. So there where you are on that.
Wow. So, I mean, listen, they're going, guys. I mean, there is an ability for teams to be able to get that either number one or that amazing complement to the number one that you have that you can move from there. And you mentioned a couple of teams that are absolutely going to be looking in that direction. And then you got to look, of course, and we talked about it there when it comes to offensive linemen and the amount of offensive linemen that are going to be taken in this draft. And I do think, obviously, especially in the tackle position, you know, there's 6 to 7 guys on this board. And knowing, Dane, like what we just said, once you get past number 20, you know, a lot of those teams in the end going to be stacking up on, you know, offensive linemen because they're gold. I mean, they're not going to be around long in round two. So at that end, you either trading down or you're going ahead and picking up guys that that you can work with. And I think we got, I mean, between Thomas, Wirfs, Becton, right? I mean,
those four are locked. I believe they will be gone.
Willis, they're all gone. The Wills, they're all gone. I mean,
Those
will
be gone.
Five. Let's say there's five gone.
Okay, so Wills, Wirfs, Becton, Thomas, they'll be gone, right? I mean, we're worried, Joe, as Jets fans, all four of them may be gone before the Jets pick at 11.
Yes.
Okay, and when we do our mock draft, maybe later on in the week, we will see how that plays out. The other names I'm hearing, and this is at the tackle position, okay? There's Josh Jones out of Houston, okay? There's Austin Jackson out of USC. And then everyone knows that Andrew Thomas out of Georgia, but the other tackle out of Georgia, Isaiah Wilson, is also, you know, thought of that. And then you have those are the tackles. And then if you look, there does seem to be one kind of highly prized interior lineman, Cesar Ruiz out of Michigan. I've seen him go potentially in the first round as well. So those are, you know, about six or seven. And quite frankly, Joe, when some of these teams who draft towards the end of the first round, they're teams that are better, right? They're teams that had good records. They're teams that may be in position to just say best player available. They're teams that always know that depth on the offensive line is always a good thing. Yeah. So if there's no glaring need, you know, and one of these tackles, call it Isaiah Wilson, call it Austin Jackson, are still available in the back half of the first round, I would not be surprised to see that's where teams go. This, it's no wonder this has gone up now. To you know, it is also 6.5 for the offensive lineman.
And the real question, one of the other big props is who is going to be that first tackle off the board?
Yeah.
Is it going to be, you know, Wirfs? Is it going to be Wills? Is it going to be Becton? Is it going to be Andrew Thomas? And they all have very interesting odds on them too, I think, because a lot of them are very equal. You've got anywhere at like Becton being at +160. You've got Wirfs being right up there too, right around that number. There is some interesting value depending on who you think it goes, but I don't see how Dave Gettleman is not the one taking the first damn offensive lineman off the board, especially since, you know, he's your pick, that being Daniel Jones, and I don't see how you can't, whoever it is out of the guys we just mentioned, that is in your mind the stud. You do it that way. You get your quarterback, and now you build around your quarterback, and it starts from the inside out. They're going to be able to, at the number four position, be able to take who they love the most, which is a very unique position because these guys are good. These are also guys that could start day one in the NFL, and the question is, which one do you go with? I've seen them. They love Wirfs. They love Andrew Thomas. And I think in the first round, just in the first, let's say, 10 picks, Cleveland, Arizona, and the Giants, right, are going to be three teams, I think, that are all going to be looking at offensive linemen.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. From what I'm hearing, and, you know, Joe, I'm here in New York where both the Jets and the Giants, people think offensive line may be a direction they go, right? So what I've heard, and you've mentioned the four, right? So what I would, what I've been hearing, okay, is that two of them, Becton and Thomas, those are two more of like, Your road graders, Joe. Your run blocking guys. Your beast of a men. Okay, and those, if maybe you're a heavy run team, that's what we're looking at. Wills and Wirfs seem to have a little bit more agility. Seem to maybe be a better fit for the zone blocking scheme. Seem to be able maybe to have in their repertoire the idea of being a pulling tackle, right? A little bit more agility than straight up just like 6'7", 340-pound dudes, okay? So, again, in the same way as with a wide receiver, you got to think, do you want the speed guy? Do you need the slot guy? Do you need the big body X guy? With offensive linemen, you need to fit the scheme as well.
Yep.
From what I've heard, Wirfs and Wills are the two more mobile of those offensive linemen, whereas Becton out of Louisville and Andrew Thomas, the stud from Georgia, are more of just like mountain men road graders. So we will see. They do, however, Joe, have prop bets for all four of those guys.
Yep.
And what I think is interesting, and this could be a place where if you're listening to beat writers, whether it's the Giants or whether it's, say, Arizona, one of these teams in the top 10, because they are hanging Wirfs, Becton, and Wills, Joe, all with the same exact number.
And
it's 8.5. Okay, so if you get leans on which way it could be, and pick the right one, you have value there. If you're high, if you know which one the Giants prefer, then you got a lot of a window there. But Wirfs, Becton, and Wills are all at 8.5. Meanwhile, Andrew Thomas, Joe, ironically, is at 10.5, right between Cleveland at number 10 and the Jets at number 11, which we think, listen, I don't think it's getting past number 11. So that's where they hang the one for Andrew Thomas.
Yeah, and it's usually there is a good percentage chunk of those teams at the top there that would love to be able to have, you know, stud tackles coming out of college there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think it makes total sense for, you know, Cleveland, who doesn't have a lot of other holes on the team other than offensive line to protect Baker Mayfield. Arizona, of course, is going to be there starting to build around. You bring in DeAndre Hopkins, right? You get an unbelievable weapon for Kyler Murray. Now you got to protect the kid, especially for the kind of offense that you're running. So I see them going. I would love the Jets at 11 to go, but everybody and a mother has the Jets going wide receiver. So they're the top guys, or at least the guys that the teams like, the Giants, the Cardinals, and, of course, the Cleveland Browns really, really like. The top three are going to be off the board, I think, before. By the time the Jets come, I think they're going to have an opportunity to decide what direction they want to go. I do think they're going to go wide receiver and go weapon as opposed to offensive line. Unfortunately, I would much rather, listen, if Thomas is there at 11, you've got to seriously consider going that route, Joe Douglas. Like, you got to seriously consider protecting Sam Darnold. I know we need some weapons, but like we just said, because the draft is so damn deep and wide receiver, you're going to have an opportunity to be able to get some guys there. So the top 10, and of course, you know, Jacksonville is another very interesting team at number 9. Which direction are they going to go? They got, what, 9, and then they've got one more 20, I think. They got two picks in the top 20.
And Carolina.
Carolina,
yes. In the top 10, right? And that may be where some of these stud defensive players go.
Yep.
Whether it's the kid Brown, the defensive lineman out of Auburn.
Yep.
Seeing some places talk about the pass rusher, Kinlaw out of South Carolina.
Yep.
Remember, there is still Simmons and Okuda, who people believe are top 10 talents. So many people think are connecting that these defensive players could wind up in Jacksonville and or in Carolina. And Joe, I think what you're talking about with the Jets at number 11 is a perfect case study of this.
Yes.
Right. Joe Douglas, we've seen him, and already in free agency, Joe, he has addressed the offensive line position, right? Signing George Fant, signing McGovern, signing Van Rutten, re-signing Alex Lewis. We know this is the way he builds teams, Joe. Yep. He did it in Philadelphia from the inside out. I do think, Joe, if Andrew Thomas is available there at number 11, that's where he'll go. If not, there is when the kind of wide receiver opens up. He may have his pick of the litter for Judy, Lamb, or Ruggs. And the market over on FanDuel says that as well, Joe. They've got the favorite at plus 110 for the linemen, plus 115 for the wide receiver.
Yeah, a lot to be decided. Some decisions need to be made for a couple of those teams and franchises right when you get to that point, including, listen, if you're going to have wide receivers go, who's going to be the first? What about defensive player? Who's going to be the first defensive player to go? Is it Chase Young? Who's going after Chase Young? Much to talk about, and we will continue to do so as we get ready for the 2020 NFL Draft. We'll do it next year on The Early Line. It is sportsgrid.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We going to be shaking it up on Sports Grid, coast to coast, in-game live. We're going to talk about action, talk about the games, talk about the money lines, the spreads, the teasers, the reverses. There's only one, the world's most famous, the Mecca the Hub. It's beautiful, isn't it? We have action on every game, every night. We got the skinny, the scoop, and the final word for you on Sports Grid. Everybody else pales in comparison. You're soft, we're not. This is New York, baby.
Burrell, coast to coast, 4 to 6 p.m. only on Sports Grid.
Game time decisions.
So we all know about the Houston Astros for being the cheating son of a bitches that they are. Major League Baseball botched the investigation. They botched the punishment. They ruined Clayton Kershaw's life and reputation. He should be a World Series champion right now. This guy Manfred's a real piece of work. He's like,
he makes like Gary Bettman look like amazing.
The Sports Grid Network. Burrell.
Coast to coast!
I think I called you and you were outside of some fancy restaurant with like the Italian awning with like the, you know, the like tent, and then you were sipping your, you know, gin and juice.
Listen, the only thing I drink is straight up tequila, my friend. Little Casamigos will kill any germ that comes through my body. That's all I can tell you.
The Sports Grid Network. Fantasy Sports Today.
When you're talking about basketball, listen, coaches recruit based upon those who are exiting and those that are coming in. It makes it real difficult if you got now a guy coming back again, a senior coming back, when you got a freshman coming in. So I think basketball is very cloudy, but baseball, the senior wants to come back and play his final year of baseball. It's not going to account against him, I believe.
The Sports Grid Network.
All right, guys, welcome back in here. The early line on the grid at sportsgrid.com. Joe Ranieri and Dane Martinez here as we really start to look at the draft and, of course, the prop bets associated with that draft and how it is that we can certainly make a few profitable wagers along the way to give us the best possible way to make money. And it's been a while, it feels like. It's only been really a month. But it seems like it's been 2.5 years since we've actually been able to place a bet. But we love our friends over at FanDuel because they keep pumping out the odds and giving us an opportunity, of course, to profit. And I know they didn't want to hear that, but we're going to profit. Sorry, FanDuel. But here's the deal. We do have, of course, we've talked about the number of quarterbacks first round in the draft. We've talked about wide receivers in this draft and how many we think might be able to go in the first round. We do know it is loaded with wide receivers across the board, but usually by the time they get to the end of the draft, a lot of teams are looking to do things like stock up on offensive linemen because, like Dane pointed out last segment, you get to the bottom half of that first round. Those are the teams that usually have a quarterback or pretty good in some of the other positions.
Won 10 games last year, you know.
And what you're trying to do at that point is, you know, Seattle's of the world. You're trying to stock up on those offensive linemen or edge rushers who are very, very hard to come by. But, you know, speaking of the wide receivers, we talked about the offensive linemen and who we think, obviously, those teams, especially in the top half of the draft, are going to go. Arizona, Cleveland, and the Giants all right. Going to have their pick of those great quality NFL-style tackles. But the wide receiver, this has been a huge conversation here. Now, we're talking the Jets, right? So when we look at the Jets, and let's say the Jets are the first legitimate shot in the draft to be able to go receiver, because otherwise you're asking teams prior to the Jets to go in a position that certainly San Diego doesn't need it. Miami's not going to go that direction. And everyone else has got too many question marks around, too many other good players, certainly defensively, to go there. So if it's the Jets, wide receiver number one, 11, and we've talked about, we think 11, 12, and 13, there's going to be a run of wide receivers. But who's the first one off the board, Dane? I mean, of all these receivers, who is the first one that's going to get drafted?
Listen, I think Jerry Jeudy is the best wideout out there. I think he is the one who is the more, like, complete wide receiver.
Right.
He was, you know, kind of this blue-chip prospect coming in. There were comparisons to Julio Jones when he stepped foot on the Alabama campus, you know, and when you think about him, and Calvin Ridley was another big-time wide receiver, that when he profiles like that, he can do it all, run the routes, be on the outside. Right. And I think that is important. So vis-a-vis someone like Ruggs, for example. Now, don't get me wrong. Ruggs is dynamic, but he is the speed guy, Joe. Okay, he's that prototypical take the top off the defense. You know, we've talked about this with other teams like the Houston Texans and Will Fuller. We've talked about DeSean Jackson and the role that he plays with defenses. Ruggs is that kind of receiver. All right, so if you're a team that needs that element, and there are some that do, then that's where you could go. I don't necessarily think the Jets are in the market for that, because remember, they just signed 26-year-old Breshad Perriman from the Tampa Bay Bucs, and Joe, he is a field stretcher. You know what I mean? Remember, just like they thought Robbie Anderson was, they filled that need already. I think they're looking for the kind of prototypical outside the numbers wideout. So if it is the Jets, I think that means Jerry Jeudy. I think Ruggs is more of the speed guy. And listen, at 12, the Raiders, you know the Raiders for a long time have been in love with speed. And when I look at the Raiders, Joe, they've got an outside big body guy already in Terrell Williams. They've got the slot guy already in Hunter Renfro. Yep. They have not one but two tight ends. They already have in Waller. They've signed, you know, Witten in the offseason. I think the Raiders are a team who may be looking for that deep threat. They tried it with Antonio Brown.
Yep.
That didn't work. So I think Ruggs could be a better fit for someone like the Raiders, whereas the Jets are looking for that, like, more prototypical wide receiver one they can put outside the numbers.
It's funny because I, you know, this draft could go in a completely different direction too. Sure. And to me, and we've said it, I'll say it again. If Adam Gase is going to survive a third season with the New York Jets, it's only going to happen if you protect Sam Darnold. The only way it's going to happen. Now, you brought up, it's a great point by you, with Breshad Perriman really washes out Robbie Anderson. So the idea that they have to get a wide receiver at number 11, no, they got Perriman, and many people say they got a cheaper, maybe a younger and a better version.
Crowder, when healthy.
That's fine.
Sam Darnold. Yep. He caught like 14 balls in one.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
Not as dire as you think. That's exactly why, Joe, for me, and you and I both know this, the Jets have four picks in the first three rounds. Yep. That's why I think they need to prioritize the O-linemen. They have more pieces in the puzzle than, you know, I mean, I think people give the Jets credit for. You also have to remember, Joe, they have one of the best pass-catching running backs in the entire NFL in person of Le'Veon Bell, right? So I actually don't think the cupboard is as bare. Now, if any of the linemen aren't there, sure. But I'm more comfortable with them getting one of these second- or third-round wide receivers to add to the puzzle with Perriman, Crowder, and, of course, Le'Veon Bell. And don't forget, people like Chris Herndon, the tight end, who will be suspension and healthy as well.
Yep.
So I think you got to protect Darnold at number 11.
You got an upgrade in McGovern that comes in, a guy that can play from center over to guard. You're good to go there. You got Van Roten over there, the ex-Panther, as well as George Fant. All upgrades on what you had from a year ago. If you can bring in, if you can get a Wills or a, and although I think Andrew Thomas is going to be off the board first, but if you can get one of those studs at number 11, to me, that's going to tell me everything I need to know about the direction of Joe Douglas and whether or not Adam Gase is going to survive another year. If they go with the shiny new toy, all right, and Jerry Jeudy's thing is, listen, he's not Julio Jones. He's not 6'5". He's 6'1". But the guy's yards after the catch, that's what makes, he's the best route runner in the draft. He is by far the guy that is going to get you, is going to catch the ball and get you more yards than you could possibly imagine. He is the perfect weapon for Sam Darnold. But he can't get the ball to him if he's under duress the whole damn time.
Right.
So
that's
please,
right.
please. And why I say this is that by the time you get to 11, there's a number of defensive looks here that the teams prior to the Jets and number 11 might go in that direction, including, and listen, we can't say it's not going to happen as much as we think it would be stupid to happen, but by the time the Giants get there at number 4, and we're thinking the Giants take an offensive lineman, but what if they don't? What if they go with, let's say, Isaiah Simmons? So suppose they decide we're going to build the defense first, and then we're still going to have enough cachet to be able to work the offense, you know, down the road. And we know this because Gettleman in his days in Carolina, guys, we know this. I think also, and this is my personal feeling, is that 4 is going to be where the Giants get all the offers for anybody looking to move up to Tua. I think Detroit's going defense one way or the other. They're going to either – they're going to get one of the defensive player, maybe Okuda, right? Maybe Okuda, maybe somebody along those lines, or Isaiah Simmons, something. But I do think the Giants are probably going to be the team that people are calling saying, hey, what do you want? We want to move up at number 4 and jump, jump the Dolphins. So I think there's a lot of ways the Giants can go. It doesn't necessarily have to be offensive linemen there. It could be quarterback, or it could be I'm building the defensive first, Isaiah Simmons. And if that's the case, those available offensive linemen, they all drop down a little bit more. Yeah. And then I think it makes it very hard for teams like the Jets to go, I'm going to go wide receiver.
I hear you.
The wide receivers could literally drop down this draft and in the middle round. So
let's play the game, Joe. We know the names, right? The CD Lambs, the Jerry Judys, the Ruggs, the Jeffersons, what have you. I'm kind of with you, Joe, okay? Let's call the Jets a wild card. In the 5.5 or 6.5, let's call them the half, okay, in the prop bet. I see the Raiders at 12, Joe. Would you agree there?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I see the Niners at pick 13, okay? I also think Denver at pick 15 is possible.
Okay.
I've seen wide receivers linked there before. Then, Joe, all right, so then it gets interesting.
Okay.
I believe Philadelphia at 21.
Okay.
Right, that's a wide receiver needy team.
That's correct.
I am intrigued, Joe. Honestly, I am intrigued by the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars, you already know they have pick 9. They also have pick 20 from the Los Angeles Rams, okay? Right. And at pick 20, maybe I think that's potentially viable. That wide receiver squad in Jacksonville, you have some guys you like, the Keelan Coles, the DJ Sharks of the world.
Okay.
You don't have a stud, and same thing with a kid like Gardner Minshew. So I'll put them as possible. I definitely believe, Joe, there's another one in the low 20s. And for me, it's the Minnesota Vikings. Remember, they got the pick number 22 from Buffalo. They have 22 and 25, and they just shipped away Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
Okay. So I believe the Vikings are another team with the Eagles that are going in that vein. Then I don't know, Joe. I don't think the Saints will. They just signed Manny Sanders, right? The Dolphins.
No need for them. About, yeah. Right.
The Dolphins have other needs. You know how much I love Devontae Parker, even the kid Preston Williams that's there. I don't think they use a pick.
That's right? Correct.
The Ravens, I mean, for me, Joe, the Ravens, they have Hollywood Brown. They drew the first rounder on their wide receiver last year. And that team, Joe, you know this, they're a run-heavy team.
Right.
They're a play-action kind of
team.
That's
not going to change.
They got their tight ends. They get their guys open in space because of play-action and the threat of the run.
Yeah.
At 29, Joe, is Tennessee. I don't see it. They just drafted A.J. Brown early as a wide receiver last year. They still have the kid, Corey Davis, who's young, that they like, right? I believe the Packers at number 30, I will count them among a wide receiver.
I will too, absolutely. Especially if it falls the way we're talking about,
30?
Where these guys are going to get pushed down.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And someone like a Higgins or a Jefferson is still available at 30, sure, I'll give them that. San Fran, we're giving them potentially a wide out early in the first round.
Yep.
So we've already counted them. And then at 32, I think the Chiefs are okay at wide receiver.
Yeah.
So count them up, Joe.
Yep.
What do we get to, right? I'll give you maybe the Vikings, maybe the Eagles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jacksonville. So outside of that run that could happen early in the teens, those are teams that I think you add them all together, you get to what, 5?
I'm with you.
I'm getting under on this one, Joe.
Yep, I'm with you.
The other part you consider, there are so many wideouts, right? Supply and demand.
Yep.
Why would a team like, Green Bay have to pull the trigger? They don't have to.
I agree.
They can wait around 2, and the level of talent may still be there.
Yep. Yeah, I do think there is, if you go theoretically with everyone's thinking, Tua and Herbert going to be somewhere in that top 5. Three quarterbacks with Burrow, right?
Top 6, let's say. Top 6.
Yeah, top 6. Chase Young, Washington, done. Not even talking about it. To me, Detroit, their asking price will be the world if they're going to move down and not have a chance to be able to get that stud secondary like Okuda. And that's why Okuda's number's 3.5. But I think Detroit sitting pat, getting the best player, best defensive player on the board, could be Simmons or could be Okuda.
Sure.
The Giants, I think, are ones going to get all of the phone calls and be like, what do you want? We want. And really, it's going to be from – I think the Chargers, they're willing to move up, and the Giants could get a stud member of the secondary. They got a ton of them, young guys. And they could go up. So I do think by the time, you know, the more we keep talking about this, Jacksonville is going to go defense. Jacksonville at number nine to me is probably going to begin. You lost Bouye, you lost Ramsey, and the kid Henderson from Florida, right around the corner for lives, you know, grew up there, went to Florida right there by Jacksonville. He's out there, and they got to start building up that secondary. A lot of talk also about Cam Newton ending up in Jacksonville there and Minshew backing him up. So I do think when you're – we know certainly Cleveland don't need any real big offensive outside of the offensive line. So to me, quarterbacks, defense, you've got a lot of opportunities there for some of the middle rounds. I think for players – to be able, or teams rather, to look at some of these wide receivers, these stud wide receivers, and go, wow, I didn't think he was going to be here at 19, 20, 21. You know what I mean? And I do think there's going to be a couple of teams walking away with first round wide receiver talent late in the round. Like you said, you want the heir apparent to Devontae Adams? You're probably going to get him at 30 if the defense goes the way we think it's going to go in the top half of this draft.
Absolutely, and that would be the ripple effect of the supply and demand thing that I'm talking about, right? If there's enough that a team like, say, the Niners at 13, say the Broncos at 15, if there's still all those wideouts there, right, except just the top three, then they may be like, I will take the risk of getting my guy with my next pick, wideout with the next pick, and still look at, you know, who knows, whether you talk about C.J. Henderson, C.J. Henderson, a cornerback out of Florida, you talk about some of these other O linemen that are there, right? And that it would be then the ripple effect of all these teams, in essence, kicking the can down the road on their wide receiver position. But I'm with you, Joe. I think the top 10 wind up being three quarterbacks, three defensive players, and four offensive linemen, the defensive players being Chase Young, Isaiah Simmons, and Jeff Okuda. The only kind of wiggle room there would be, is it the fourth lineman, or is it another defensive player? Another guy I see Jacksonville connected to, Joe, is Derek Brown, the defensive line stud out of Auburn, would still be close to home, in essence, right, for Jacksonville, an SEC guy.
Yep, and I do think they're going to go defense. I think that's definitely going to be a point of contention with them. And I think that when you're looking at
and that's the question then, Joe, of will the fourth offensive lineman still be there?
Be there, exactly, correct. 11, right? Yeah, because I'm not sure that Tampa doesn't go offensive lineman if there's one available to protect their new shiny toy there in Tom Brady, because
14, if Thomas is still there.
You know what I'm saying? They absolutely might have it, or Becton, or one of these guys there that could protect him. Might be the way to go. Absolutely.
Three quarterbacks are going to be off the board, right? Yep. The at least three or four of the offensive linemen will be off the board. And then three or four of the defensive players will be off the board when the Jets pick at 11.
That's
if
correct.
If the fourth offensive lineman is gone, let's call that Andrew Thomas, then the Jets probably pivot to wide out. If not, then the Jets probably take the last O-lineman, whether that's Thomas or somebody else, and that then pushes the wide receiver ripple effect to teams like the Raiders, like the Niners, like potentially the Broncos, Vikings, and others.
So basically, guys, when you add it all up, what do you get? An absolute mess. We'll try and make sense of it all. And we'll do that coming up here in the final segment of The Early Line. It is The Grid. It is sportsgrid.com. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in here to the Early Line on the grid, sportsgrid.com. Joe Ranieri alongside Dane Martinez as we continue to power through here with draft coverage and everything that is the NFL draft coming up in just 8 days here, guys. We will keeping our fingers crossed. We got a lot of exciting things happening here at the grid. In fact, especially leading up to the draft there, a lot of draft coverage, a lot of live programming, a lot of certainly a lot of betting, maybe even among friends here, maybe some possibility wagers of who, what, where, and how, a lot of rooting for our own favorite teams. Sure. And then of course, a lot of making fun of other teams who, you know, might in fact botch the draft. So a lot of exciting stuff coming your way here on the grid. Certainly want to thank those of you that have taken time out of your day to hang with us here, as we all hope on the horizon will be the return of sports as we know it in some capacity. And we have all the faith in the world that that is where it is heading. And of course, in the meantime, we've got Roger Goodell on his couch in his thong. Yeah. Maybe not in a thong, probably in the thong. We probably won't see it, but Roger Goodell will be on his couch in the basement. Which I think is the best call in order to be able to call the draft.
Right now on the bottom, Joe?
Yeah, well, you know, if you're Roger Goodell, and we said it from the beginning, like, dude, you can't be someplace like in this palatial palace somewhere while the rest of us are stuck in our thongs on our couch watching a draft. So I think it makes it much more relatable. I'm good with it. And again,
internet.
It's going to start. It's going to start there on, and it could go for a long time, depending on the craziness that happens at the top of the draft. But Dane and I, of course, given a lot of different suggestions and ideas of where this could go. And it's so funny because as crazy as it might get, even in the top 10, before we get to the Jets at 11, the jockeying for position for your quarterback is going to be very interesting. We've said it all along, Tua. The keys to this draft, guys, by far the keys to the craziness of this draft are going to be with Tua. And if, of course, the Giants are the ones, and I think they will be, the Giants are going to be the ones, Dave Gettleman, getting the phone call saying, what's it going to take for us to move up to four, leapfrog the Miami Dolphins, and get Tua? Because I do think it's going to be Tua. Even though the Dolphins have done a great job of trying to release a whole lot of Herbert love, trying to make it seem like they're not interested in Tua. But, again, if somebody wants Tua, they're going to have to go up, and I think the Giants are where they go. But ultimately, Dane, all of this craziness and the top three, we know. I mean, for the most part, we know. It's going to be Burrow. It's going to be Chase Young. And Detroit, as sure as I'm sitting here, all right, unless somebody goes completely over the top, and I don't think this is the year you go over the top, you know, given the circumstances that you would take, you'd be willing to sacrifice the rest of the, you know, your draft capital to move up a couple. I just don't see it, especially with the Giants sitting there. I think Detroit's going to go with their best defensive player. To me, the only question is that Simmons or is that Okuda? Which one? But Matt Patricia on the hot seat. He ain't getting a quarterback. Right. He ain't going anything but he's a defensive guy. The next one outside of Chase Young, everyone thinks is Simmons, but he lost, you know, Slay, so now he's got to replace the secondary member.
Exactly.
He's going to go. So that means to me, Dane, the first three damn draft picks of the draft, to me, are done. Like, there's no even questioning about it. You can, and usually it's always jockeying at the top. I don't think the fun begins until 4, 5, and 6. And what do those teams do? And that will really, if the Giants move down, right? Then that means you're going to have quarterbacks at, let's say, 4 and 5, right? Miami at 5. Then you're going to have the Giants, who, again, are going to have the pick of it. Is it an offensive lineman? Is it going to be either whoever Simmons or Okuda didn't go? Brian Flores, a defensive-minded coach. So he obviously would have to go quarterback in that particular case. But, man, oh, man, the second half, I think, once we get to that pretty boring Cleveland. We have an idea, right? Jacksonville, Carolina. We know what their needs are. Once we get to the Jets, though, that middle half of the draft, and I think is going to be wild because I do think a lot of teams are going to get players with value that probably should have been in the upper half, but because of the way it worked with the quarterbacks, you're going to steal some guys there in the middle round, some great talent in the middle rounds with some teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Just because of the positional value of quarterback. We just went over it, right? We talked about it earlier in the show. About three quarters of the league right now, you know, has first round talent at the quarterback position. And that doesn't even count like a Drew Brees or a Tom Brady, for goodness sake, right? Or a Russell Wilson, for goodness sake. Like, many people believe if you're going to make a run, you need a first round quarterback. We know there are a few who people project to be a first round quarterback, or at least three who there's consensus are first round talent, and that being Herbert, that being Tua, that being Joe Burrow. So there will be teams that go up to get that guy. I think the Giants are a very interesting spot, Joe. And remember how we've talked a lot about, in relation to, say, like the Chargers, if they're comfortable with either or, then they can stand pat, right? A team like the Giants, who have options at offensive line, who potentially have a guy like Isaiah Simmons as an option, right? You just said it, Joe. If they wanted to trade down, say with the Chargers, and go to number six, they know they will still have the offensive lineman available, right? So they can kind of go down a few picks, accumulate maybe a third round pick out of it or next year's second out of it, right? To continue to restock the personnel and still ultimately get a guy that was high up on their board. Right. There are a number of teams who have that ability because of the rush for the quarterback market, okay, that have that ability. If you're a team and you want one of these offensive linemen, you may have a little bit of wiggle room.
That's correct.
If you're liking one of these, for example, Joe, another one is at the pass rusher position. Mm-hmm. Think about, say, like Carolina or Jacksonville, right? They may want one of these defensive studs, whether that be a guy like Derek Brown, whether it be a guy like Simmons to replace Kuechly if he falls to number seven. But there's other pass rushers that are in here. I'm hearing the name of Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina as potentially a top top 10 pick. I'm hearing the other edge rusher from LSU, Chaisson, as potentially a top 10 pick. Well, if you have those guys on your board really, really high, and you're comfortable trading down, still snagging that guy, then maybe you get, you know, the haul of draft picks to restock the system.
And a couple of these teams fascinate me, Dane, from where they're going to go. And even once you get past whatever, to me, it's either going to be the Chargers or the Giants at six. One or the other, it's going to happen, right? It's going to have to be one of those two teams. And I think we're pretty clear, if it's not the Chargers, what it is that they moved and swapped with the Giants for.
Detroit, maybe, but
And I, again, it would be amazing if that happened, but I just think there's so many needs that Detroit's like, go get your stud, man, and you have the option to do that. And let's say it is a CUDA. Man, by the time the Giants come, let's say at six, look at who's waiting there that's still on the board. Maybe the best and most athletic defensive player outside of Chase Young with Simmons, where all of a sudden now, and I wouldn't put it out, could somebody want to move up to get him is a possibility too. And again, all these while, you're going to have teams like Carolina completely revamping everything, right? And Carolina, too, is a situation where they've lost so much on defense. I'd be shocked if Carolina went anything outside of defense, depending on who it is. I think the kid Derek Brown you mentioned from Auburn would be a great fit there for him as well. The Cardinals, again, offensive line, guys. They're going to protect. You don't bring in guys like DeAndre Hopkins, right, if you can't protect your quarterback in order to get there. So I think they're going to get one of them, whoever is left. Maybe the best one. Who knows? Jacksonville, I think, again, you're going to have an opportunity where they're going to start building from that defensive side, given the fact that they lost Bowie and Ramsey. So I think that's defense. And then you get to the Cleveland Browns, who, guys, they need offensive line help. So they're going to go offensive line. So to me, I think for the most part, once 4, 5, and 6 settle in, the rest is pretty straightforward on who, what. It's just a matter of which offensive lineman does Cleveland like, which one does Arizona like, and which defensive player is available that they like. But I think it's almost set in stone the direction offensive defense they're going. We already talked about the Jets. The Raiders, wow, the Raiders. I don't know how they do any. They're going to me, I think, if the Jets do what we hope, and Adam Gase wants to survive another year in New York, he's got to protect Sam Darnold, go offensive lineman. John Gruden already dressed the defense in free agency, right? So they've got some free agent. They got some new blood on the defense. You haven't replaced Amari Cooper yet. So he's going to get whoever the hell he wants, I think, with the first wide receiver. I think San Francisco, if it ain't what I think the wide receiver is going to be for them. I think offensive linemen to protect Brady. You know, quietly, Ndamukong Suh re-signed with Tampa. Nobody talked about it. Like, and that's huge for them. And while they could use a little depth on the defensive front there for Todd Bowles, you lost Dotson, right, the tackle. You better replace his ass with somebody that can protect a 43-year-old quarterback. Yeah. I think offensive lineman is there. And then if you are Denver, help me out here, Dane, because Denver, to me, could also just sit there at 15 and walk away with maybe one of the best wide receivers in the draft, which would be a huge compliment to, of course, a rookie or second-year quarterback in Drew Lock for them. And even though Fangio is a defensive-minded head coach, I love the fact that you got Pat Shurmur as your new OC there, right? And Shurmur, let's say what you want as a head coach. I think the guy's a great offensive-minded coach. We know the style that he would like to run. You give me Jefferson, Judy, Ruggs in Mile High. And Drew Locke's got a gun. Right. So I think Denver is going to sit there, and who knows, by 15, Dane, Denver could end up stealing a player here, certainly on the offensive side. Nobody saw coming.
Yeah, and with a lot of these, and again, as we go further and further down the first round, right, there's more variables in play.
Right.
There just is, right? Like, will all of these offensive linemen still be there or not? Will these wideouts still be there or not? Will a specific defensive player still be there or not? As we go further and further, you know, the branching out of options just become more and more. But I see the top half of the first round similarly to you, Joe. I know we'll do kind of an official mock a little bit later on this week.
You just go offense, defense, which side do you think they're going? Then it's just best available player that they like.
Fair. I think for offense, defense, we are on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
The one exception being, I think the Giants are a crapshoot.
I
still think the Giants could go offensive linemen, have their pick of the litter, or have their pick of the litter with the defensive players.
Right.
Okay. Otherwise, I see it like you, Joe. We know the top two. I agree. Detroit is defense. I personally think it's a CUDA. It sounds like you maybe lean Simmons, but we're saying defense. The Giants, I'm saying, is the one wild card for me.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins and Chargers, we know they're looking to address the quarterback position. Okay. The Panthers, I see at defense. You talk about a CUDA there. I think Isaiah Simmons there. Mm-hmm. I think whichever one is left over.
Brown.
Yeah. Be the end.
Yep.
Right? Because, listen, for Simmons, that's a great replacement for Luke Kuechly. Remember, the Panthers also lost Bradbury, their cornerback, to the Giants in free agency. So I think Carolina's defense. Arizona, I agree with you. Offensive line, we've talked about the priority to protect your young ascending quarterbacks. Kyler Murray fits that definition. Jacksonville, I agree with you, is defense. You talk about who they've lost in the back half of the defense. They've also lost Calais Campbell. Remember, trading Baltimore Ravens. All right, so I think this could be the Derek Brown spot or whatever defensive player falls to them. I agree. Browns are offense. We've talked about the tackle. And it looks like they will have their choice of one or two that are still on the board. The Jets, I agree with you, are offense, whether it's up front or with the wideout.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about wide receivers in Vegas and San Fran potentially.
Yep.
Tampa, I agree. But Tampa, here's the problem, Joe. If Tampa does not have one of the stud O-linemen left, then I think they go defense. For Tampa, I think it's O-linemen or defense.
Okay.
Okay, because, you know, Todd Bowles needs some tools to play with. I get it. If Thomas or one of the Hog Mollies are there, sure. But outside of that, I think they would go defense.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, I think this is where you start to have the forks in the road.
Right.
Denver, if one of those big-time wideouts are there, I think it's a perfect fit for them to pair with Cortland Sutton for developing quarterback Drew Lock. But if not, then they could go defense. Mm-hmm. I've seen Kinlaw, I've seen Chasen kind of put there as well. And then by the time we hit Dallas, Atlanta, then it's kind of too hard to say
yes
if that O-lineman or if that wideout
yep.
or if that edge rusher will still be there or not.
Yep.
So, you know, it's easy for them to pivot one way or the other. And that's where GMs make their money, Joe, right?
That's right.
The contingency plans will be in place. But for the most part, I agree with you, offense, defense, where they'll go. And it's interesting, Joe, because that's a market on FanDuel.
Yep.
Where will they go, offense, defense? Joe, our team, for example,
mm-hmm.
the Jets, would you pay this juice? It's minus 380 that they go on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I
receiver and offensive lineman. Those are both offense. Would you lay minus 380 for it?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because, again, I don't know enough about Joe Douglas, and anytime Adam Gase touches something, not enough consistency in the front office for me to be comfortable laying it. Because who knows? And, again, depending on where that draft hits at number 11, suppose they just decide best player on the board.
All right.
If the best player on the board is a defender, then we're screwed.
I hear you. How about this one? You and I both seem to think that Jacksonville mm-hmm. will be starting to build that defense.
Yes.
I look at the offense-defense number for them with their first pick, who we have at number, what is it, 8 or 9?
Right.
You know, minus 140 to go defense.
Yeah, I like that one much more. Yeah,
that's
I like
not
that.
Bad, right?
Yep.
Talk about Carolina wanting to go defense, we think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Defense, minus 120.
Yep, like that there too as well. So and I know they got a new quarterback and a new coach, but again, they lost so much on the defensive side. You still got McCaffrey. You still got, you know, you got enough weapons on offense there that you're going to be all right.
What we could do, Joe, maybe what we could do, and I know we're running out of time, maybe on tomorrow's episode we could kind of do this, but just with offense, defense.
Yes, and go down the board.
And see if there's any value that you would play.
Yes, good. And there definitely will be. I mean, it's now's the time to start kicking into NFL draft mode, guys. We'll be doing it all week here and, of course, into next week as we get ready for the 2020 NFL draft. All right, get ready. Morning After next, Dane and I will be back again tomorrow, running down the board, looking to make some money for everyone as we get ready for the draft. So enjoy your day. Be safe. We'll talk to you again tomorrow here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.